May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The very next verse in the gospel reading that Bracken read, it says that Peter responded by saying, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And then Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you even know me. This lesson was earlier this week or late last week, but it's just something that God has been speaking to me about again this morning in my prayer time. Our spiritual depth determines our spiritual height, but our spiritual depths are determined by what we learn when we fall, because we all do in one level or another. Peter, when Jesus said, I pray that you'd strengthen your brothers, you know, his turning, his healing was a process completed in John 21 when they're out fishing and they can't catch any fish, very much like when his calling was completed earlier, 3.5 years earlier. And then there's one on the shore that they don't recognize, and it's Jesus, but they can't recognize him. He's built a fire, and he tells them to cast the net on the right-hand side, just like he had done all 3.5 years earlier. And they cast the net, and it was an overwhelming load. They couldn't even hardly pull it into the boat. And John, who had a real revelation of the love of God when he laid his head on the breast of Jesus, John looks at Peter and says, it's the Lord. Peter didn't put two and two together, but John did. He said, it's the Lord. And then Peter, you know, stripped down, jumped in, went, swam to him. And then in the conversation they had three different times, because, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times, the Lord asked Peter this question. He said, do you love me? And the word there is, do you love me with perfect love? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you with imperfect love. And he said, go feed my sheep. And then Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me with perfect love? And he goes, well, Lord, I love you with imperfect love. So he said, tend my lambs. And then he asked him a third time, but this time Jesus said, do you love me with imperfect love? And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. He said again, feed my sheep. It's always been interesting to me because, you know, Peter, when Jesus told Peter that he was going to fall, that he had Satan had obtained permission and that Jesus knew he was going to fall, he said, my prayer is that your faith won't fail and that you'll strengthen your brothers. You'll learn something in the fall and that you'll strengthen your brothers and you'll fall up instead of falling down. And he said, then Peter says, well, Lord, I'll even go to prison to death. And if you remember, even one other place in the gospel said, look, all these other guys might deny you, but not me. I'm the one guy here who loves you with a perfect love. So Jesus asked him the question twice, do you love me with perfect love? Jesus wanted to see what he'd learned. He said, no, Lord, you know. He said, do you love me with imperfect love? He said, Lord, you know all things. Because Jesus didn't expect anything other than him loving him with imperfect love, because he knows we're fallen. And I believe with all my heart that if Peter hadn't experienced what he experienced and learned some things in the fall that added some spiritual depth to him, he couldn't have been the voice that God used at Pentecost or at the Gate Beautiful. In Pentecost, in verse 37, after Peter had proclaimed the gospel, it says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. The language here, he says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for the promise to you and to your children, for those who are near, to all those who are far off. I don't think he just meant for generations to come. I think he meant for those who are Jews, religious, and those who have no religion at all. It's a gift. It's a promise. I don't think Peter could have talked that way before when he thought you had to have perfect love to be a follower. In chapter 3, when the man is healed, the Gate Beautiful, and the guy jumps up and he's healed, and it says, and all the people in verse 9 saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the Gate Beautiful by the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he was clinging, to Peter and John, all the people ran together to him, the place so-called the portico, the place of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our power or our spirituality we made this man walk? the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Jesus. I don't think Peter could have made those statements before the fall, his fall. But he said, it's not because we're spiritual. It's not because we have power. It's because we're in union with him. It's him. It's all about him. There's a place in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, where Jesus says, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. But in the Luke passage, in Luke chapter 6, it's the same story. It's the same context. Jesus says, be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. It's interesting to me. It's the same sermon, but one of them was translated, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The other one is, be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. And from that emerges an understanding, the wisdom of God that he hid, be perfect. That human perfection, that holiness is hidden for the humble. And that a perfect person, or a person who's moving towards perfection, is not one who's a perfectionist, but it's someone who consciously forgives and can value imperfections in themselves and in others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. The ability to be merciful comes from a place of spiritual depth. And most of the time, Watchman Nee used to say, we only advance in the Christian life through adversity. And most of the time, we go deeper in the midst of failure. I'm not telling you that God wants us to fail. I'm just telling you God knows who we are and he doesn't waste those moments. That our spiritual depth does determine our spiritual height, but our spiritual depth will be determined by what you learn when you fall. Because what you learn is that God's a God of mercy. And then you learn to be a person of mercy. And a person of mercy is the person who's advanced the most in holiness. Not the perfectionist who demands perfection from everybody else, but who's learned to value the imperfections in their own life and the imperfections of others. That's not a personality type. That's hammered out inside of us when we fall. That's what happened to Peter. That's how he could strengthen his brothers. And he carried an anointing and released an influence after his fall that was far greater than what he carried before then. So Chuck's not telling you go out and fail so you can learn. Chuck's saying, in light of the fact that you've fallen, maybe even today, learn. Be transformed. Because if you don't take advantage of those places, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit spoke through Simeon when he said, there's the fall and the rise. The kingdom of heaven's in a down and up life, not an up and down life, but a down and up life. It's a crucifixion resurrection life. It's always the way it works. And so if you've fallen, just allow the cross to do a deeper work in you. Because it's from that place you're able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, instead of Father, judge them, because they didn't get it just right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.